Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. This episode is about purple dead nettle, a weed in every sense of the word, but as you'll hear later, it's a nice weed. It reminds me of plantain, another European weed that came across the Atlantic with the settlers. In her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, Robin Wall Kimmerer shares that plantain was called white man's footprint because it grew everywhere settlers dug up and otherwise disturbed the landscape. But plantain, Kimmerer points out, is naturalized, not invasive. That means it's gentle and only takes up residence where there is space, not forcing anyone else out. Imagine if the settlers had been that kind. It's not too late, I think, to be more like plantain and dead nettle. Humans, and especially white humans, still have a lot to learn about how to be gentle weeds, not taking up any more space on the landscape than we need, and kindly coexisting with everyone else, animal and plant alike. That's why I weave information about native biodiversity into every ritual and ceremony I lead. It's so important that we learn about the others on this earth so we can be better neighbors. Since they're waking up now, I'll be sharing about black bears in the full moon ritual I'm facilitating this Sunday for the Mountain River Circle. If you're in the Queensbury, New York area and catch this episode before March 24th, you're welcome to attend. Check the show notes for the link for more information. And of course, you can join in next month if you miss this one. Shamanic Reiki was the catalyst for me learning to be a gentler weed. My training helped me take all that out there energy I was working with in yoga and traditional Usui Reiki, and ground it into shamanic practices and techniques
that not only created a more transformative experience for my clients, but also fostered a deeper connection with nature that made me want to help all beings thrive. If you're a Reiki 2 or higher practitioner who's already catching the vibes off plants and tapping into the spirit world for messages, join the next Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner Training beginning April 3rd. In addition to adding to your skills, you'll learn simple practices that will make you a gentler weed wherever you live. Be sure to check the show notes and click on the link for all of the details and register. Now, I'm pleased to welcome Sherry Kurtikel back to the podcast to tell us more about purple dead nettle. If you haven't heard one of Sherry's episodes before, know that Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry's also studying clinical herbalism at the Herb Whisperer Learning Center and in Rosemary Gladstar's Science and Art of Herbalism course. Sherry is an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products under the name Glitter Witch Gardens. Sherry, it is so great to have you back again, and I'm really interested to hear about the herb this month.
Well, thank you so much for having me again. I love our sessions here. And yeah, this month's herb is actually considered a weed. Pretty much in all circles, even with herbalists, they will admit that it is a weed, but it's one of the earliest flowering plants that comes up, only behind a crocus. Of course, crocuses come up pretty much under the snow, but the herb of the month this month is called purple dead nettle. And of course, I always start with a poem, and I won't disappoint today. So here we go. Purple dead nettle, you pop up so fast. Your telltale purple blossoms most certainly don't last. Creeping Charlie and Henbit try to play us a fool, but we know your purple heart-shaped leaves. Oh, they are cool. You bring us such happiness coming out in early spring, and the dead in your name means there's no sharp nettle sting. Lamium purpureum feeds walking ants and bees. Waking ants and bees. It's used in Western herbalism, but not in traditional Chinese. So what can you make with this purple spring weed? You can quickly make a poultice to help when you bleed. I suggest making an oil to calm itchy red skin, and a salve soothes your muscles when the aching begins. There's a mischievous story of fairies playing tricks. They hide a centipede's shoes and do it just for kicks. If you want to know more about my lovely spring friend, then scroll down, read, and watch all the way to the end. So, this is a really beautiful little plant that grows along roadsides. It usually pops up in people's yards if they don't spray for weeds, which I highly recommend they don't. It's one of the earliest plants to emerge in the spring, and it does bring a lot of welcome nutrients for those ants and bees that are coming out of their sleep, and they're still kind of groggy, and they're really hungry. This is a great plant for them. It's also sometimes confused with another plant called henbit, which looks similar, but the leaf shape is different than the purple dead nettle. Stinging nettle also starts to come up around this time of the year. And with that plant, you definitely want to wear gloves, or you will need the purple dead nettle after you get all the stings and the irritation. I did on my website include a cute little video by a herbalist that I follow on Instagram, Blue Ridge Botanic. And she tells a story of how the fairies are connected to purple dead nettle. She also has a story about the henbit. So I put a link also for that. They're really, really cute. So basically, what happens is the fairies hide the centipede's shoes, and he can't find them. And he's looking for them because he wants to propose to his lady friend Centipede. And so you'll have to watch that story. It's really cute. The best time to harvest the purple dead nettle, of course, like any other plant, in most cases, is in the morning after the dew has had a chance to kind of burn off the plants. That's usually a later morning. It only needs a couple of hours in the sun to kind of get rid of that dew. And what you'll want to do is harvest the aerial parts. And what that means is the leaves, the flowers, and some of the stems. I like to pop the leaf and flower bundle. I call it a bundle. It's kind of bundled at the top of the longer stem. And so I kind of just pinch it off. The stems are square. They are in the mint family, so they're kind of square. And they're very moist. They're also hollow in the middle. So they're really easy to just pinch right off. Purple dead nettle are also hermaphrodites, which means that they have both male and female organs, but they are pollinated by bees, which makes them self-fertile. So if you want to harvest purple dead nettle year after year, then when you harvest, what you want to do is make sure that you leave enough of the flowering plant to go ahead and set the seed, and then you'll see it in the following year. It is an annual, so it does need to seed over, and the seeds fall to the ground in the fall, and they fall into the soil, and then they start to sprout, but you won't see them. In the winter, they are very, very short, close to the ground. You won't really see that growth. But then when things start to warm up in the early spring, then the plants emerge very quickly. And that's why we see them so soon in spring. I also tend to harvest, because they grow in both my front yard and my backyard, I'll harvest heavier in one set in 1 year, and then the next set in the next year. So this year, my front yard is the yard that I'm harvesting heaviest from, making sure, again, that I still leave plenty of the plant, that it can self-seed itself for the following year. It is an aromatic herb, and it's a soft herb. It has soft, fuzzy leaves, which means that when you are drying them, you need to be really careful. You don't want to throw them in an oven or a dehydrator and crank up the heat and try to get it done really fast. You'll destroy everything in the plant. So what you want to do, if you have the means to do it, is air dry them. It takes several days to do so. But in my case, I don't have a lot of space in my house to air dry. And I have a dog that sheds so much hair that you would end up having dog hair in the purple dead nettle. So I do use a dehydrator, but I set it on the lowest setting that I have, which is about 95 degrees. And at 95 degrees, I find that it takes 10 to 12 hours to dehydrate. So I pretty much set it at the lowest setting, set it at a really high length of time, and then just forget about it until it's done. You don't want to dry them so much that they're completely crispy. You just want to extract the moisture, because with this plant, most of what I make with it are external medicinal products. And that is oils and salves and things of that nature. This plant is really good for topical use. I do use the purple dead nettle oil to make the salves, but I also just make purple dead nettle oil because the oil itself is really soothing. My husband, when he shaves his face or his head, he tends to rash up and he gets, that red raised rash, and he just puts the oil straight on his skin So it acts as both a moisturizer and the anti-inflammatory properties of the herb tend to soothe and reduce all that swelling. So the redness goes away really quick. I had mentioned the bug bites before, and a poultice. So if you happen to get bug bites, you're in the garden, you've noticed some bug bites on your skin, or you do disturb a bee by accident and he retaliates with a sting, then grab a handful of purple dead nettle. I don't recommend chewing it. It has astringent properties, so it will suck the moisture right out of your mouth. But in a bind, you could do that. What I tend to do is run in the house and grab my mortar and pestle, and I will grind up the aerial parts really good in that, and then just put it right on the bite. And the astringency will pull the toxin that the bug bites have out of your skin, while the soothing part will soothe what's going on the skin, and the antihistamine part will take away the swelling and the itching and all that. So let's talk a little bit about the plant itself. Purple dead nettle is not native to our country. It is actually native to Europe and Northern Africa. So we imagine that it probably came over in the pockets of people when they settled the US. Dead nettle was first reported from the Hudson Valley in 1751 and in New York City, excuse me, in 1809. And in 1819, there were reports of finding it in old fields and cultivated grounds. Now, it's considered naturalized now. It is a fast grower. It will spread, but it's not invasive in that it won't take over other plants. In fact, if you have well-established plants in your garden, dead nettle will find the place where the established plants are not residing, and it will plant itself there. So it likes to cohabitate with other plants, but it's not the bully in the garden. So you don't have to worry about ripping it all out. Purple dead nettle is, it doesn't grow very high. It can grow several inches high in some places, but mostly it's a lower growing plant. So take a walk in the backyard. And I really like to, in those rare early spring days, when the sun is shining and it's unseasonably warm, I love to just go lay in the backyard or the front yard and find a place where there's a lot of purple dead nettle and just lay down with your neighbor and quietly just close your eyes, soak up the sun, and listen. You'll hear the bees buzzing around. And you can, if you really have good hearing and you listen, you can almost hear the ants crawling around the plants, which I think is absolutely wonderful. So the this plant was really hard to find anything on like any lore around the plant, as far as magical uses and such. So what I did find is that it is tied to kind of a lesser known deity in Norse mythology known as Nanna. And Nanna is the goddess of happiness and joy, so cheerfulness and joy. This plant is used when if you're going to do some spell work with it, this is used for courage, happiness spells, healing, protection, and resilience. It is associated with air, and it's also associated with the planet Venus. It is also, you think about all this love and this joy and everything, and you think, well, maybe it would be associated with the heart chakra, but it's actually associated with the throat chakra. Because this happiness and this joy and this resilience comes from the throat, the communication, being able to communicate your happiness and your joy and sharing it with others. So we are going to be, I'm going to be putting up a recipe for making purple dead nettle oil. I like to use the oil in my lotions. And when you talk about the throat chakra, you know, I'm getting older and I notice that the skin on my neck is not quite as taut as it used to be. So I tend to lotion up under there and, you know, just do some massaging under my chin, get that blood moving in that area. And so purple dead nettle is a great way. It's astringent, so it'll kind of tighten up those pores, yet it's moisturizing. So it's a really great herb to work around your throat chakra, both physically and, of course, spiritually. So growing regions, if you are anywhere in zones 4 through 8, you will probably find it popping up now. If you are still in that cold zone, and the snow is still around, as soon as that snow goes away and things start to warm up, start to open your eyes and look for that purple dead nettle so that you can enjoy all the happiness and joy that purple dead nettle brings to you.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for sharing all of that. And you know, it's a really interesting little plant that I never think about. So I'm really excited to get out and look for the purple dead nettle.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those beautiful little plants that supports so much, but goes really unnoticed. And I think there's a little magic in that, that when you start to notice it, then you start to notice other things. And it does bring you joy first thing in the spring. So thank you.
Thank you. Me and the bees and the ants.
Yes, when you harvest, be sure and tap the plant because there will always be ants in it. And we don't want to put them in the dehydrator.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. And I look forward to having you back next month.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.